Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 900, Priya Malani, CEO of Stash Wealth, a live studio audience recording.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
That is Priya Malani for you. She is the CEO of Stash Wealth. Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Special treat for you. This is a recording of So Money that was done in front of a live audience not too long ago. We all gathered at a beautiful, incredible gathering place for female professionals in New York City called Luminary. So thank you to Luminary for hosting us. Kate Luzio is the founder of Luminary, and you can actually hear Kate and I discuss her launch of Luminary and also her background on So Money. That's episode 847. Check that out. Yeah, so this is my attempt to try to shake things up a little bit here on the podcast. You know, as we approach episode 1000, we have 100 episodes to go. Want to kind of make them all really stand out. And this one, we were lucky enough to be able to do in front of about 60, 70 people on a very rainy night in New York City. So thank you to all the audience members who decided to make the trek and come and see and hear us chat about money and life and careers and all the things. And Priya is someone that I've been wanting to interview for some time. She is an entrepreneur and founding partner at Stash Wealth, which is a financial planning firm for, get this, Henrys. Do you guys know what Henrys are? Henry stands for high earners, not rich yet. And I have a feeling that that's a number of us listening on this podcast. And I mean, I would probably raise my hand too. You know, everyone's got a different definition of rich. And if you are making the good bucks, the good dollars, but feeling like you have a ways to go to establish quote unquote wealth because you've got the student loans or you've got credit card debt, or it just because, you know, it takes time to do all the things, that's where Priya and Stash Wealth come into the picture. So Priya is someone who has a storied background. She worked for 10 years on Wall Street, and then she left sort of unceremoniously, and she'll talk about this, to start her company. She's known as the Rebel of Wall Street, so got to know what that means. And Priya is very open about a lot of things. She talks about, you know, some financial deal breakers when you're in a relationship, how to talk about money with your partner, and also, this was unexpected, the best credit card on the market. This is her opinion, and I kind of agree. So make sure to stay tuned for all of that. We actually did some audience Q&A at the end, which I'm saving for a future Ask Farnoosh episode. So there's more to come from this live interview. And of course, special thanks to our sponsors for the evening, Birchbox and O'Neill Vintners. All right, without further ado, here is Priya Milani.
Priya, welcome to So Money.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm such a big fan and I've been waiting to be on the show for so long. So I'm so excited. So pumped.
It's the pleasure is all ours. I want to start with your title, which is not only the co-founder and CEO of Stash Wealth, but also you are known to be the Wall Street Rebel. That is... It is on your bio. It's out there. I didn't make that up. So tell us the story behind that. Like, is there a story that captures your rebelliousness? I mean, outside the fact that, yes, you left Wall Street to start something revolutionary, but even when you were at your desk working on Wall Street, like, what would be very characteristic of you?
So... That's a really good question. To be honest, the Rebel of Wall Street, that honestly came from me itself. I gave myself that name. I think it was just, you know, in creating Stash, I really wanted to make sure that we were defying the odds and doing something really new. And I didn't want to take inspiration from the old traditional Wall Street firms. So I was looking elsewhere. And I think every time I'd come up with an idea, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so rebellious. And that literally that's how it came. And now, of course, it's in the news. It's everywhere where people call me the Rebel of Wall Street. It's kind of cool. I like it.
When was your aha moment? When did you actually decide, okay, I got to leave and I'm starting Stash?
It was probably
a moment, right?
It never is. It sounds crazy to say this, but it was really early on when I was working at Merrill Lynch. And I joined Merrill right out of college. So I was super young, didn't really quite know what I was getting into, started in wealth management. And I was just so shocked. I remember one time I was pulling together like a financial plan for a really wealthy client. And I was like, wait, this is how we show investment data to a human? Like, this doesn't make sense. It's not in English.
Too many numbers and algorithms.
And not necessarily what was the most relevant to them. And if it's not really relevant, but a financial advisor presents it to you as relevant, you might think you need to make a decision based on that data and you don't always need to. Mm-hmm. I can get more into that. But, I think that slowly I just found more and more things just seemed so odd. I was like, wait, this is not how it should be done. And I felt like I could do it cooler, faster, better.
Right. And the accessibility of it, the cost, right?
Absolutely.
So expensive. And really what you're trying to serve is this unserved market that, you know, we're making the money, but we may not be making the millions of dollars, which the truth is that's kind of what you needed to get a wealth advisor.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people who have left Wall Street have a similar story, but friends were coming to me and they were like, hey, what do I do with the 401k? What's a Roth IRA? Why should I care about it? What are stock options? And obviously I couldn't help them. Wall Street really doesn't want to talk to you unless you have $1 million. And even if you have $1 million, you're like a D-list client to them. They'll take your money, they'll throw it into a bunch of investments, and then you'll never hear from them ever again. And that's kind of shitty service.
Yeah. Oh, we can swear on this podcast too, by the way.
Good.
So tell us a little bit more about how Stash works. I want to get into your brain more about like your financial hardwiring and all of that. On So Money, we like to dissect people's money experiences, their money philosophies, but really quickly, because before we move on, just how does Stash work and how does it differentiate? Because now there's a lot of technologies out there that promise a similar thing, lower fees, mm-hmm. more transparency, you know, no more fine fine print. We just tell you exactly how your money's getting invested. So where does Stash kind of work itself into that market?
Yep, that's a great question. So Stash is a registered investment advisor. So we're able to provide holistic financial planning and investment solutions to the 20-something and 30-something demographic. One of the mistakes I thought Wall Street was making was that they were offering financial advice and guidance in piecemeal. So they might help someone with a specific situation, but not their entire financial life. And that was one wrong that I wanted to right at Stash. So the way in which we operate is to provide millennials with a virtual financial planning experience that's completely holistic, end to end. How to keep your avocado toast lifestyle, rosé, boozy brunch, the whole thing, but also making sure that you don't turn around in a few years kicking yourself because you didn't get your financial shit together sooner. So we offer a virtual financial planning experience. It takes most people about 5 to 6 weeks to go through, but it's completely designed to answer every financial question that one might ask and the questions they don't even know to ask because this stuff wasn't taught in school. So making sure that before they could be their own worst enemy, we solve for the client's issues. Like, are they using the right credit card? Are they hacking taxes? How to avoid an insurance salesperson who's trying to sell you a whole life product? You know, all of those things that we didn't learn in school, but because no matter what job you have, no matter what industry you're in, you really need to know mastering your money is a critical life skill.
And it's an ongoing journey. It's not like you're going to learn it in one full stop and then you're done. So what is a question that we don't ask that we should be asking or we don't know to ask?
Yep.
That recurs a lot.
A lot of times clients come to us and they want a budget. Does that sound familiar? Everyone thinks like budgeting is the holy grail. And at Stash, we actually don't believe in budgeting.
Yes.
It's so liberating when I get to say that.
Oh, it's like you don't have to go on a diet.
Yeah, exactly. And it can be something as simple as budgeting or like maybe a lot of conventional wisdom that is passed down from our parents. Things like the question you might not know to ask is you default to thinking, I must buy a car. I must buy a home. That's the cornerstone of adulting. But did you ever think to ask, like, is that the right financial decision? And a lot of times we help clients ask those questions and then answer it for them so that they don't make money mistakes that they regret.
That's some deep rooted stuff though. So you're also probably part therapy.
We joke that 80% of what we do is therapy. Yeah,
I would imagine.
The numbers are the easy part, quite frankly. Yeah, absolutely.
So transitioning now to those, you know, those beliefs that we grew up with, what was childhood like for you? What's a money memory that you have that as an adult woman, like it still either haunts you or, you know, is a pleasant reflection? You can go either way with this.
I'm the child of immigrant parents. My parents came over from India in the late 70s, early 80s, but they were very progressive. So money was not hidden in our household. It was talked about, discussed, fought about, like the whole thing. I was exposed to it all. The memory I think that sticks out for me would be early 90s, the markets crashed. My dad had listened to a friend who said, these are the stocks to buy, and it didn't go so well. And that really scarred me. And it's also in a good way, what it's led to is that.
How did it scar you? Because did they talk about it with you? How did it trickle down to your childhood?
No, it didn't. It's not necessarily something that my parents talked to me about, but I definitely observed what happens when you lose money in the stock market and how detrimental that can be. So I think for us, we've done a really good job at Stash to put like the psychology behind investing as a big educational component of how we teach our clients. Mm-hmm. Because Wall Street actually does a really shitty job at this. They love to portray investing more like gambling, like, oh, buy a stock or buy Bitcoin. That's literally gambling. That's not investing. And people don't understand the difference. And that's a lot of times where they go wrong. So understanding that the stock market is not Vegas. If you want to gamble, just go to Vegas. It's way more fun. They give you free cocktails, the whole thing. But if you actually want to make your money grow, investing is something that is certainly a great tool to use, but you have to understand the difference between investing and gambling to be successful at it.
So quick advice, how do we invest accordingly to Stash's, you know, guidelines, so just be done with the idea of picking stocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Picking stocks is such an old school way of investing. It's how our parents used to have to invest because they had no other choices. But luckily, the investing world has come such a long way that we have so many great tools that allow us to invest in a much more holistic, goals-based way. And so I bring up the point of goals-based because everything at Stash is driven by goals.
I'm remembering, this is actually a real story because you're right. Like, I feel like buying stocks, especially like over the phone, is so antiquated, but that actually was something that I experienced on an Amtrak train coming back from Washington. There was a gentleman, we were like sharing a four top and he was like, buy 20, no, sell at 40. And I was like, it's 2019. Are you trying to pick me up? Or like, I don't know, what is this? What
it
is going on?
It sounds so sexy. It's way cooler when you're at like a cocktail party or something. I don't know if people talk about this at cocktail parties, but it's way cooler to say like, oh, I own Amazon or I own Facebook. It's like way cooler to talk about than to say, oh, I own a diversified.
Buy the index fund.
Yeah, buy the index fund. It's just not as cool. Right. But honestly, investing is a way for your money to grow over time, not overnight.
Right.
And one of the things that we believe in is making sure that our clients don't make any arbitrary financial decisions. So we don't believe in saving for the sake of saving or investing for the sake of investing. It all has to be driven based on your goals. And that's the new conversation. And Wall Street doesn't like it, but they're going to learn because the millennial is a very smart consumer and they're demanding more sophisticated solutions.
Yes, forced to be reckoned with. However, millennials are also, I hear, saddled with a lot of student loan debt. The fact that it's so hard to access healthcare, affordable healthcare for everybody, but in particular, a millennial who say is not making much because wages have been stagnant. Then you've got the student loans and then you've got the financial illiteracy as well. And all of these things that seem almost like out of your control, these systemic issues, I'm sure you hear about them as people are crying on your shoulder, at Stash Wealth. But how do you work within that system? Is it workable? Because there is a school of thought that no, all of this advice is like all for nothing.
So clearly there's a systemic issue. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that. I don't think anyone can really argue with that. But the narrative that we take at Stash is to empower our clients and sort of steer clear of the victim narrative and more towards the victor. What can you control and what can you do about your situation? And listen, we hear it all the time. The average Henry, the national student loan average is somewhere around 30,000, right? But the average Henry at Stash has around 80,000 in student debt. So we're dealing with it all day, every day. It's part of the financial plan. It's part of the discussion. And you don't necessarily have to wait until your student loans are paid off until you begin accomplishing other things. In fact, you shouldn't. You can certainly take advantage of smart options that allow you to do more with your money if you take that more holistic approach.
A hybrid approach.
Hybrid approach. Yeah.
Is Wall Street paying attention? Are they listening? What's good? Like, so a lot of it is shitty, as you said, but like they obviously must be paying attention. Are you noticing any improvements?
That's a really good question. So obviously in 2008, 2009, I think Wall Street lost the trust of our generation. And that's when they really had to start paying attention. But that environment definitely created room for newer options. And there are now the robo-advisors that we hear about, which are pretty much the only other option I think millennials have besides Stash Wealth. And we're on opposite ends of the spectrum. Robo-advisor is going to be more hands-off, more technology-driven, and Stash Wealth is more hands-on, human-driven. Mm-hmm. It's just a different approach. But I am seeing that they are trying to pay attention.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans.
Impossible.
You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. The weather's getting warmer. As I record, it's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney.
What about Bitcoin? I have to ask that question, right? I mean, you're all thinking it.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. Okay, moving on.
Blockchain. Moving on.
No, blockchain, I think, is valid.
You're right.
Yeah. And that's all I know. That's the extent of my literacy right there. So I've been told that blockchain is cool. So let's go back to you. You seem like you have your financial life figured out, I'm guessing.
I got lucky, honestly.
But did you fail ever? Because I want to really talk about that. I want to talk about a misstep, a failure, a regret, a money regret.
This is hard. I get asked this question all the time. I got very lucky because my senior year of college, I was already interning at Merrill Lynch, and the financial advisors I was working with took me under their wing. And I think being a child of immigrant parents, saving was just like a thing. And I think I told my younger sisters, you need to graduate from college with X amount, no matter what, in savings. And then I fell into Merrill Lynch and they told me to open up a Roth IRA. So I did. So I've had one since ever.
Mm-hmm. And how did you negotiate your raises?
I'm looking at Lindsay.
Who's Lindsay?
My lovely editor.
Oh, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Right. Why are you looking at Lindsay?
Well, we've talked about this a lot and negotiating. And, you know, for me, working in a male-dominated environment worked to my advantage. And I never thought of myself, especially in a corporate world, especially on Wall Street, I didn't think of myself as a female. I just thought of myself as a person in the room. And my ideas are as good as anyone's. And if I think I deserve a raise, I'll go in and ask for it. I didn't go in and ask without having proof to back it up. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong is like, what am I worth? This what am I worth conversation? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not an arbitrary question. It's a question that you have to back up with data. And, you know, what I always did and the advice I give is to put yourself in the shoes of the person you're asking. Like, what would you need to see from someone asking you to be able to be like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. You should definitely get a raise. We don't want to lose you. You're super valuable. And then that's how I would position it.
Can you take us into an actual scenario where you negotiated successfully?
I mean, I left Snapchat. Wall Street over a decade ago. Let's
come on. Let's rack the brain because I really think like that capturing that, you know, like maybe there was a you were going in for the ask and you were maybe a little nervous.
And you never go in for the ask without, this is a key thing. You've lined it up. Like, you know that you've spent months doing things that when you go in for the ask, it's so much less scary. It's almost like, yeah, we know it's gonna be a yes. Yeah. And I think that is also very important, is don't just go in and ask expecting to get a yes immediately. You need to spend time really, yeah, you're literally almost grooming the person to be like, you're an idiot if you don't give me a raise.
Right.
Cause I'm valuable to the company and I know that and you know that.
So when you left, do you have friends still on Wall Street?
I walked out cold turkey. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was crazy. I still can't believe I had the balls to do it. I'm happy I did.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy.
Well, we're glad you did. I read a stat recently that, and I'm seeing more data like this, that women are actually better investors than men. What's your experience?
Certainly, the studies show that women tend to
be- Or we just fail less.
I think this goes back to, and just to be clear, Stash is a gender neutral brand. We serve men and women alike. I think it comes back to that concept of what is investing versus what is gambling. By nature, I think men tend to think of investing more like gambling. Like, let's look for that quick win. Let's trade the stock. And if the markets are down, I need to do something. Or if the markets are up, I need to do something. And I think women may naturally, I don't know, I could be totally stereotyping here, but have a little bit more patience, and investing rewards patience. Mm-hmm. It does. So if a couple comes to us, heterosexual couple, and the woman is like the CFO of the relationship, I'll always like tease the guy, like, good job. You guys are on track. Cause you know, studies do show that women.
I'm curious to know about the dynamic of couples, because you service millennials. Are you seeing that they're a little bit more, you know, modernized in the way that they divvy up the financial responsibilities in the household?
Totally.
They
are absolutely
gender neutral.
Absolutely. And most often the couples come to us through a heterosexual comes to us through the female. So she's the one stepping up and saying, like, we need to get our financial shit together and we're going to do this. And usually the guy's like, what are you roping me into? But then once we, which is a common thing, it's totally fine. But once we get them on the meetings and get them understanding how to think like more one team, one dream, both of them are super pumped because they're planning their life together. It's a really important conversation to have.
Right.
In fact, you really shouldn't get into a serious long-term relationship unless you've had that mid long-term conversation. Like, where are we headed? What are our goals? That uncovers a whole bunch of stuff, Farnoosh.
Are there? Yes. So are there financial deal breakers? I read an article that was like, if your spouse's or if your boyfriend's credit score is less than 650, tell him to take a hike. And I was like, seems sort of arbitrary, but I mean,
we wanted
money breaks up relationships all the time.
It does. It does. It definitely does. And the sooner you have those conversations, the sooner you have a better understanding of where both people fall in terms of values, priorities, etc. So we, of course, encourage couples to have these conversations.
And prenups too.
Prenups, absolutely. We think of prenups more like disability insurance. Like, right, you have to get it, but you don't expect to use it.
You hope not.
Definitely not. Right?
This question comes from, so Money has an exclusive financial partner, Chase, and we want to know from our guests this month, as we look to the summer, what is a way that you like to splurge or save when you travel?
I love to travel.
You can take this either way.
Yeah. For the gram. Obviously.
For the gram. Some people are gramming it in fake locations now. Like a makeshift private jet at a pop-up, but they're like, hey, look at me. I haven't done that.
We have a public service announcement at Stash. Your friends appear a lot richer on social media than they actually are. Yes. Hands down. Be aware. And I know because I see the credit card debts.
Hashtag truth.
Harsh truths. Okay, well, I'm not affiliated with Chase in any way, but I love the Chase Sapphire Reserve card. And what's really cool if you're a Chase Sapphire Reserve card holder is that when you book travel through their site, so like instead, if you're going to book a vacation or book your flight, don't go directly to the airline, go through the Chase website. Do you know this? You get a 50%, up to a 50% bump in like value exchange.
Wow.
So like if I'm going to, I might as well book it through Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another thing that's really cool about anybody have the Chase Sapphire Reserve? Oh my God.
Oh my God, like everybody.
It's so good.
This was not planned, by the way.
I know, so not planned.
They're going to be so happy about this.
100,000 bonus points? Yes. So badass. I mean,
it's got to be the reserved though.
The reserved.
There's a Chase Sapphire.
The preferred is really good too. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of Henrys, they're ready to upgrade. And a lot of clients, one of the big mistakes we see people making is they're holding on to like the credit card that they had from college, like whoever was canvassing their college campus. And a lot of times people also think, I can talk about credit cards forever. A lot of times people think that, oh, I have I don't want to name specific banks, but if you have a checking account with a specific bank, that's where your credit card also needs to be through that bank. That's absolutely not true. You should definitely hack and find out which credit card is aligned with the way you spend money so you can really hack those rewards points, because all millennials want to hack rewards points. One thing that's really cool about the Chase Sapphire Reserve card.
I think we have found Priya's sweet spot.
There's everyone's like, oh my God, the fee, the annual fee.
Why didn't I ask this question sooner?
The annual fee is really steep. It's like $450, but $300 of that is reimbursed through travel credit that counts for like New York City taxis, Ubers, and as I found out, liquor on an airplane.
Damn. Well, I just got upgraded to the, the JetBlue. What's the fancy JetBlue? What? Not Mint. It's like the elite status on JetBlue, whatever it's called. And I get free alcohol now. Okay. And that's all I read. That's like where I stopped reading. I was like, I'm in. Sign me
Cheers
up.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Because I have two kids under the age of 5, and that is necessary on a 6-hour flight.
Very necessary.
So we'll get into some more hacks as people hopefully come up and ask questions. Yeah. But before we wrap, I want to do a traditional So Money fill in the blanks with you, Priya. I didn't tell you I was going to do this. Okay, so this is just like I start a sentence and then you finish it. First thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
If I won the lottery, I know you don't play the lottery. Maybe you do. If I won the lottery tomorrow, let's say a mega bowl, whatever it's called, Powerball, like $200 million. The first thing I would do is...
super responsible sounding, but I would put a lot of it into Stash for the technology, and then I would take a really sick vacation.
Nice. Where would you go?
Maldives.
All right. Have you ever been?
Yeah.
Okay. It's that good. When I splurge, I like to spend on...
I deep down, I'm a girly girl, so I like all the girly girl stuff. I love to shop.
Shoes.
I love shoes. I love all
makeup.
That stuff. I get myself a nice facial, all that good stuff.
That's unapologetic, and I like that. One thing I spend on that makes my life easier or better is?
Cleaning person.
Yes. This is the number one answer that I think I've interviewed. I don't know, 750 people up to this point, and a cleaning person is like number one.
Yeah.
Followed by manicure. Yeah. Wellness, like anything to do with, you know, self-care. So I'm there with you. All right. When I donate, I like to give to blank because...
Well, right now I'm really into giving to financial literacy organizations. You're going to... top of mind, I can't think of the one that I love. It's New York based. I'll come back to you.
Sure.
But absolutely. I think it's a big problem in our country and it needs to be solved.
I'd like to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about like, there are people out there who think like, it doesn't matter how, you can't teach financial literacy to 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds. A lot of colleges won't even get behind it, you know, because they just for some reason aren't putting money towards it. And there are studies too that show that like, you know, you can teach a kid how to write a checking, like open up a checking account and all that, but they could still end up with debt in the future. So I don't know.
It's the principles. It's the psychology behind money more than just like the actions.
Yes.
I think. And I think that's maybe where
there's confusion. I think they're thinking, oh, I got to teach you how to budget, which I know you hate.
And it's a dirty word. It's trash.
But it's more about just like getting comfortable talking about money.
Also true. Which is also a problem in our
society. Ask questions. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We're on the same page with that. Okay. And when I was growing up, the one thing I wish I had learned about money is... She's looking at her sister.
The one thing I wish I had learned about money. I started investing really early. I started saving. Credit card was a little tricky. I remember my dad calling me when I had a credit card and being like, you overspent. And I didn't quite understand why that was an issue.
Mm-hmm. But they gave me the limit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And last but not least, I'm Priya Milani. I'm so money because...
I'm so money because after leaving my big sexy job on Wall Street and starting a company, I finally pay myself a salary.
Oh, right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Farnoosh.
It's been a pleasure. To learn more about Stash Wealth, head over to stashwealth.com and also follow them on Instagram at Stash Wealth. And you can also follow Priya on Instagram at Priya Milani Official. All this information is over at somoneypodcast.com. You can get the link to share the episode, hear it over and over again. Also, click on Ask Farnoosh while you're there and send me your questions for our Friday episodes. All right, that's a wrap, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.